Man, it is well with my soul. That song was written after the Great Chicago Fire, and a man lost much of his wealth when the city burnt, and he sent his family over to England, his wife and daughters, and all the daughters were lost, and when the ship went down. So, but God gave him a song in a great, great trial of his life. God gave him a song. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today, and we thank you that it can be well with our soul. We thank you for this man who wrote this song out of a great, great trial in his life, but he found peace with you. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in each of our hearts today. May we have that great peace as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to do something unusual this morning. I want you to close your eyes. Okay. Now I want you to find your Bible with your eyes closed. And I want you to find 2 Kings chapter 6 with your eyes closed. 2 Kings chapter 6. Obviously, you're going to have to guess. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 6. Eyes still closed. Okay, lay it on your lap when you think you've found it. Lay your Bible open on your lap, 2 Kings chapter 6. And then, with your eyes still closed, I want you to find your hymn book again. Okay, eyes still closed. Find your hymn book, and I want you to turn to 163, hymn 163, with your eyes closed. And when you find what you think is hymn number 163, I want you to put the hymn book open below your Bible. Out of respect for God's word, put the hymn book below your Bible, open on your lap. So now you've got your hymn book open to what you think is hymn number 163, and then on top of that is your Bible open to what you think is 2 Kings chapter 6. Okay, and then I want you to find your wallet or purse, and I want you to find a $1 bill with your eyes closed. Find a $1 bill and put that in your open Bible, okay? Now you may know you don't have a $1 bill, so but just if you already know you don't have a one, and of course if you know you only have one denomination bill, you're gonna have a definite advantage, okay? But take out what you think is a $1 bill and put it in the center of your open Bible, and then you can put away your wallet or purse, whatever. Okay, so now you got your Bible open to what you think is 2 Kings 6, your hymn book open to what you think is hymn 163, and you have a bill, if you have anything with you, in the center of your Bible right now, what you think is a $1 bill. Okay, now you can open your eyes. Okay, how many of you found a $1 bill? Okay, wow, quite a few of you. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're like Brother Dan Gibson. He's blind and he folds all of his money a certain way so he can. He can get into his wallet and he can find whatever he has in there. He knows what it is, whether it's a one, a five, a ten. Okay, how many of you are not successful in finding a $1 bill? Okay, all right, all right. How about the Bible reference? Did anyone open your Bible to 2 Kings 6? Did anyone have it open to 2 Kings? Okay, wow, three. Wow, that's really good. All right, 2 Kings 6. Did anyone have it open to 1 Kings? Okay, two of them. Okay, all right, so wow, that's pretty good. Okay. Did anyone have your hymn book open to page or hymn 163? Wow, that is amazing. All right. Okay. Well, if I had a prize, you'd win it, but I don't have a prize, so okay. Wow, that is something. Okay, the title of this message is Lord, Open His Eyes. Lord, Open His Eyes. 2 Kings chapter 6. You can find it this time with your eyes open, all right. 2 Kings chapter 6. We have such a need today to have our eyes open. So much of life we go through, as it were, with our eyes closed. And we need some help. We need some help. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Assyria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? He was surrounded by enemy soldiers. And so he says to his master there, Alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? We're surrounded by the enemy. Verse 16, and he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are what? More than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, what? Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of what? Horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And on, it goes, the mountains were filled with chariots of fire and horses. The mountains were filled around about them with angels, the angels of God. And yet the young man thought he was surrounded by the enemy. The young man thought there was no way out. He thought they were doomed. And yet there were much more with him than against him. But he needed his eyes opened to see them there. And God did that for him. Now, many times people live their lives only seeing the bad around them, the wrong, the evil around them. And so many times in life we feel so pressured to conform because we're only seeing that side. We're not seeing God's side of the picture. And so this morning, if there should be any here this morning that are not saved, I'm praying this morning that God would open your eyes and see the truth that Jesus died on that cross for us. He shed his precious, sinless blood for us. I don't care what kind of movies have been made portraying Jesus to be immoral with Mary Magdalene or anyone else. Those movies are false. They're wrong. The Bible tells us that Jesus lived a pure and holy life. He was born of a virgin birth, a miraculous birth, so he would not be born with a sin nature. And so he could come to redeem us from our sins. So, and if this morning, if you've come here and you're saved, but maybe you're discouraged, maybe you're facing many problems, I pray this morning that God would open your eyes, open my eyes, Help us to not be discouraged. The Bible says of Jesus, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. I often think of that when I'm discouraged. And I think, Lord, I fall so far short of what you are. But I'm praying this morning God would open our eyes. And although the battle seems so strong around us, I'm praying the Lord would open our eyes that we could see the truth, that there are many more for us than against us. And so I'd like us to ask ourselves some questions this morning. The first question is, where are we getting our answers for life? Where do we go for answers? Is it Google? Some of you without a computer say, is it what? Are you talking baby talk now, preacher? Well, no, I don't know where they come up with that name, but Google is a search engine. And you may say, what is a search engine? Okay, well, it's all that computer talk, you know. So if people have a question online, many times they Google it, as they say. They just type whatever, just a phrase or a word up there on the top. And because there's many search engines, but Google is so fast that people have just kind of gravitated toward that. And so they type it in and they find an answer. It might be a right answer, it might be a wrong answer. But where do we go for answers in life? Sometimes people will write in and tell us, well, I Googled this, I typed in this, and it come up with you, your websites. And so we praise the Lord that they found us and that we can show them from God's Word. So most people, well, I guess no one found 2 Kings 6, did you, or was there? Was there anyone that had their Bible open to 2 Kings 6? No, okay. So that was my illustration. Where do you go for answers? You know, we tried to find the passage with our eyes closed. No one found it. No one found the right passage with your eyes closed. We need our eyes to open. We need God's help in life. The school is back in now. Some schools teach, I don't know if there's any around here, but some schools in America teach both creation and evolution. Most schools, I would say, probably teach evolution. Well, evolution, really, some people will take issue with me, but evolution is atheism. Evolution is teaching that we're here apart from God. And that's just not the right answer. That's not the right answer. We are not here by accident. We are here by God's design. God has a purpose for each one of us. And although each of us so many times feel so insignificant, each of us so many times feel like we are just a tiny speck on this earth of over 6 billion people, and each of us many times think, what difference is my life really making? And we just feel so insignificant. Well, we are here by God's design. Notice in Genesis 1:1, evolution teaches that the earth and everything started about over 5 billion years ago. And yet that does not fit in with the Bible. The Bible's answer would say about 6,000 years the earth has been here. Some would go up to 10. So 6 to 10,000 years is a lot different than 5 billion. I've asked the guys many times in the sheriff's camp, I've said, guys, do you think that a Cadillac will ever form out there behind the gym? I mean, right out of the ground. And I've never had one of those guys say, yeah, I've given enough time, I think a Cadillac could come right up out of the ground back there and form. And yet that's what we are taught in evolution, is that everything came out of nothing. Came out of nothing, just a matter. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. My friends, that's the foundation. Because if there is no creator, then why do we have to answer to him? Well, there is a creator. Sometimes they wonder, well, why do young people act like animals? Have they ever thought, maybe it's because you've taught them that's That's their ancestors. Maybe it's because you've taught them they've come from animals. Maybe that's why they act like animals. No, we were made in the image of God, is what the real answer is. Notice in verse 31 here. Let's read verse 27 first. Let's go to verse 26. How's that? Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in what? Our image. After what? Our likeness. Is God an uncompleted blob of matter? No. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in what? His own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Why should I trade that in for a monkey? Now, you may think monkeys are cute. But why should I trade that in to be a descendant of a monkey? When the Bible says the right answer says that we were created in the image of God. Now, I've never seen a monkey build a mansion, have you? I've never seen a monkey build a Cadillac, have you? God gives animals just a limited ability. Well, they can make houses of sorts. There's an eagle house or nest over on, is it 12 Mile? But they've worked on it over a year now. They were back again this spring, same house. I didn't see any plasma TV up there in the nest. I didn't see any copper roof on it. I didn't see any new Anderson windows in it. I didn't see any oak flooring. God gives animals a limited amount of ability, but to man, God has given man an unlimited imagination. Houses, on your way home from church this morning, just notice the unlimited imagination people have of houses. Colors. Down in Mexico, where Jeremy and Julie were, they get much more wild with their colors than we do up here in the States. Much more wild. Man has an unlimited imagination of shapes, forms, colors. Animals don't have that. Why? Because they were not made in the image of God. We were. And God has given man great ability to think and to try experiments. And notice then in verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. Now, some people say they believe in theistic evolution. Theism is the belief in God. And you know what evolution is. Evolution, they say, is things formed by mutations, changes, gradual changes. That's why they say it took 5 billion years. Well, you can wait here 5 billion years, and a Cadillac is never going to form in the backyard of the church. It's not going to do it. And nor has man and everything come from just billions of years. So theistic evolution says, well, I don't want to look like a dummy in the eyes of the world, so I'm going to say I believe God created matter, and then God just used evolution to form everything. My friends, that doesn't work. Verse 31 said, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. Not just good, but very good. Evolution always teaches that things form by mutations. Painful mutations, slow mutations. You know, one part of a finger, you know. Okay, it's got to form a knuckle. Okay, millions of years, form the first knuckle, and then the rest of the finger. Can you imagine how long and painful and awkward that would be? When God created everything, he said it was very good. It was complete. And you notice also it said there in verse 31, the last part of the verse, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We're not talking about millions of years long day. Some people try to say that, say, well, these days were millions of years long. No, it says the evening and the morning, showing us that it was a 24-hour period. The evening and the morning, were the first day, second day, third day, down to the sixth day, and so on. So they were literal 24-hour days. So we cannot reconcile evolution and creation. You must choose. Where are you going to get your answer? Well, I'll get my answer from the Bible, God's Word. It's never been proven false. And it makes a lot more sense, okay? And so many things, like even the dust, the thickness of the dust on the moon, that lunar lander, and of course some people believe that was all a hoax anyway. They don't believe man ever actually landed on the moon. They believe that was just, you know, films made up. But though man landed on the moon, but they put those big landing pods or pads on the lunar landing module because they thought the dust was going to be thicker on the moon because of millions and millions and billions of years of dust from space settling up there. Well, guess what? According to their calculations, after they were there, there's just about 6,000 years worth of dust on the moon. Oh, surprising. Not really. Not surprising at all from the biblical perspective. They say that, you know, the sun is getting further away from the earth or burning out or whatever they're saying. But their calculations, if the sun then was bigger, the earth would have fried. So there's not the millions of or billions of years to play with there, as they say. So where are we getting answers for life? If people think that they're here by accident, there's no purpose in life. There's no one guiding, no one has a plan for my life, so why not just end it? That's what many people think. Notice with me in Psalm 119. Your Creator left you a textbook. And Brother Jim, what he was saying, he didn't know what the message was, but what he was saying fits along perfectly with this. God has left us a textbook. It never needs to be revised because it's correct. It's true. Psalm 119, verse 18. It's the Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 18. What does it say, the first phrase? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You see, I asked you a little while ago to open your Bible to 2 Kings 6, and no one was successful. We need to pray, God, open my eyes. Not just to anything, but to thy law. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, in my flesh I am blind. Lord, open my eyes that I may see the truth from your word. And then one last thing on that point, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, once again, this goes along with what Brother Jim just said. 1 John chapter 5, God gave us a written record. I've only been handcuffed once by the police. And on that occasion, I was handcuffed because I did not have a written record that I was eligible to drive. I did not have my driver's license with me. In the old church building, we didn't have automatic thermostats, and so every Sunday morning in the winter, I'd have to drive in there early Sunday morning and turn up the heat. And one morning, I got into the car and went to go to town, and I forgot to put my wallet in my back pocket. And a state trooper pulled me over. And, of course, I knew he was going to ask for my wallet, and I went to reach for it, and it was not there. And I said, sir, I forgot my wallet. I'm only a mile away from home. If you'll just go back there with me, I'll get my wallet. He says, step out of the car, please. Face the car, please. He searched me. He handcuffed me and put me in the back of his police car. And then he called in the information. And they told him, he's clean. And so he said to me, he says, well, I've got good news for you. You're not going to jail today. I thought, well, I appreciate that because I really didn't plan on going to jail today. But I did learn that they put handcuffs on tight, and I had the indents in my hands for a long while that day. And I learned the importance of having something in writing that day. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the what? The record that God hath given to us what? Eternal life. It's not temporary life. It's eternal life. And this life is in who? His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I what? Written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know. It doesn't say that ye may think or that ye may hope. It says that ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So people say, no one can know for sure that they're going to heaven. Where are they getting their answers? It's not from the Bible. It's as they're looking around. Their eyes are closed. Their eyes are blind. Because if they would look in the Bible, they would find right here that there is something in writing you can prove. Okay, I know that I'm going to heaven. Because I'm good? No. Because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have turned from my sin to Him. I've asked Him to cleanse me from all of my sin. My trust is in Him. And the Bible says, it has it right here in writing, that I may know that I have eternal life. So people that say, you can't know you're going to heaven until you stand before God. God gave us the truth in writing. Gave it to us in writing. Would you buy a car if there was nothing in writing? No. Would you buy a house if there was nothing in writing? No. Then why would you risk your eternal soul on what someone says without having it in writing? What a terrible risk. If you bought a car without getting anything in writing that you just paid that guy, and then if he didn't give you the title, do you realize you could be pulled over, maybe arrested for having a stolen car? And even if not that, have the car taken away because it wasn't that guy's to sell, or he could just say, he didn't give me any money. I didn't sell it to him. I didn't give him that car. If we wouldn't do something as simple as that, why would we trust our eternal soul to chance? Terrible, terrible risk. It's not only a risk, it's a terrible choice. So where are you getting your answers in life? Number two, where are you going for a good time in life? I had you try to open your Bible with your eyes closed to 2 Kings 6. No one was successful. We need God to open our eyes to His precious Word and show us the truth about life and eternity. But where are you going for a good time? And this was illustrated by asking you to turn to the hymn that I asked you to. And so where are you going for a good time? Many people, when they want to have a good time, sing. If they have a party, oftentimes they want to have music with it. And so I had you try to open hymn book. And Kelly found it, but I don't think anyone else, did anyone else find the right? Yeah. Okay, no one else did. So where are you going? Without your eyes being open, you didn't find the right song. Compare that to your life and my life. Have we really found in life what makes us happy? Are we really happy today? Have we found the right song? We need our eyes open to find the right song. We need our eyes open by God. Notice in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. No one else was successful in finding it, the right song. No one else was successful in finding the song, the happiness. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to what? To steal and to what? To kill and to what? To destroy. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. A joyful life. A happy life. A peaceful life. You notice there are three things he says. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. On all the pleasures of this world, and every pleasure is short-lived, ask yourself, excuse me, those questions. Will this thing steal from me, kill me, or destroy? What will tobacco do? I mean, they have all these billboards, you know, and these advertisements, you know, that, you know, it's the real cowboy, the He-Man, or whatever advertisement it is, you know. That, or the sports players and their chewing tobacco, whatever it is. All those things, whether it's tobacco or liquor or immorality, all of those things fit in the first part of the verse. They steal, they kill, and they destroy. I was noticing at the gas station several months ago that there was a certain brand of cigarette that was $7 and something a pack. I thought, wow. And that just all goes up in smoke. I mean, that's even worse than candy. I mean, at least candy gives you a little energy, but wow, seven something a pack. Those things steal, kill. Think of all the cancers, mouth cancers, lung cancers from tobacco. Any pleasure in life is short-lived. Even your favorite food. How many minutes straight can you eat your favorite food and still get pleasure out of it? Not very long. Because it may taste good at first, but not very many minutes in a row, because pretty soon you're going to be too full, and then you're going to be miserable. You know, I found one thing the older I get. Every pleasure in life is short, but the memories of what we do are long. That's why vacations are always too short. That's why we take so many pictures, so we can remember. The pictures last. The memories last. Vacations are short. And so in life, when we choose to sin, the pleasure is so short, but the memory is so long. It's not worth it. Those things, verse 10, steal, kill, and destroy. So your favorite hobby may bring you pleasure, but you can't do it only so long. Some of you ladies may like to shop. Wow, this is fun. I like this. But you can only do it so many minutes in a row, because sooner or later you have to pay the bill. Okay? And then that kind of takes the joy out of it if you shop too long, doesn't it? Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Remember it early. Here, John 10:10, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." You know what the abundant life is? Is having God open our eyes to what is really brings joy. And then those things, then as we live on, there's no regrets. And so we can think back with fond memories. You think back of something that happened in your youth that was a joyful experience for you and you really enjoyed. You see, you can still remember that with joy, but now think back to something you did you wish you would have never done. You see the difference? Quite a difference. So where are you going for a good time? Lord, open our eyes to what really is a good time and what really is a bad time. And the last thing, number three, where are you investing your life? Where are you investing your life? That was illustrated by when I asked you to find a $1 bill in your wallet or purse. And let's see, how many of you found $1 bills? Okay, quite a few of you. Okay. I won't ask you if that's all that was in your wallet or purse, was $1 bills. But so you found it. But where are we investing our lives? Now, some of you, a good number of you, actually found a $1 bill, but with our eyes closed, there wasn't the guarantee that we were investing, that we were pulling out of our wallets the right bill. Now, If I had asked you to give the person next to you whatever you had pulled out of your wallet or purse, would you have been happy or sad? Well, maybe the person next to you would have been happy. I didn't ask you if anyone found a $100 bill or a $50 bill in there. Probably the person next to you would be really happy about that. But that is just a tiny illustration of our lives. Okay, eyes closed. I pulled out of my wallet or purse a bill. I wasn't positive what it was. In your life, are you sure each day what you're pulling out, you're investing your life wisely? Because you know what? Our lives are much more valuable than whatever you pulled out. I don't care if it was a $500 bill you pulled out of your wallet. Your life is worth much more than $500. How are we investing? Are we going through life with our eyes closed? Spending every day? Every day is worth a lot of money because we can't ever get it back. You can go buy something at the store, and if you have the receipt, most of the time you can take it back. But do you realize with each of us, as we spend our lives, we can't get any day back? It's an investment. Are we living day by day with our eyes closed, or are our eyes open? I'm praying, God, open our eyes. Let's turn to Isaiah 55, if you would, please. Isaiah 55. How are we spending our days? What have we accomplished this last week? What did we do? It's an investment. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye who? The Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while what? He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? His thoughts. That's where it starts, is the thoughts. We'll never forsake the wrong way unless we turn from those wrong thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will what? Abundantly pardon. Never let the devil lie to you and say, you've been too bad, you've messed up too many times, God won't forgive you. That's a lie of the devil. It says here, he will abundantly pardon. So let's take him at his word, verse 7. Let's forsake the wrong way and the wrong thoughts. So are you here today, and are you right with God? Do you have the written assurance that you have repented of your sin? And that is, repentance is not reformation. Repentance is not trying to clean up my own life and make myself fit for God, because none of us can do that. But repentance is the desire for God to cleanse me. That's different than today's contemporary Christianity. Today's contemporary Christianity says, you don't have to worry about changing that or that, or not doing this or doing that. You don't have to worry about that. God will accept you just as you are. That is a lie. God will accept us, but we have to come to him in repentance, with a desire for him to give us a new life. That is what the Bible teaches. So today, do you have that desire for him to cleanse you and to save you? Shall we bow our heads in prayer? And as we prepare, Kelly's going to sing us a song, Lord willing, this morning. And I'm just going to ask you to think as she sings. The song is called Open My Eyes. And this morning, do you know for sure? Do you have it in writing that you're saved? I'm not talking about just hoping so. We saw it's the written record. Have you repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And Christian, this morning, remember the enemy was surrounded, the young man. But the prophet prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. My Christian friend this morning, discouraged. May God open your eyes and my eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our eyes today. I pray, Lord, if there are any here this morning who have never been saved, I pray they would come, as Kelly sings in just a moment, and allow us to take the word of God and show them how to be saved. And maybe others have been saved but living in sin. I pray you'd help them this morning to come to you and say, Lord, open my eyes to what really brings joy in life, because the way I've been living is not joyful but miserable. Lord, have your way in each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please, with our eyes closed. Stand, please, with our eyes closed. And Kelly's going to sing this song. And if God has spoken,